Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege, it's just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh.
This is Wretched Radio. Hey, hey! That's not the pattern. Normally you go, and away we go. Woo! But I've stopped doing that, Jimmy. Do you know why?
No, I don't.
I heard it. I actually put on our own podcast, and I heard it, and I went, wow, how obnoxious could you possibly be? And the answer to that question is the maximum amount. So I'm trying to practice a little self-control. You know, there is a terrible blessing in hearing yourself, especially if you're a pastor. But I do think you ought to do it, preacher. It is good to listen to yourself. Not all the time. That might indicate a little bit of, digging your own stuff. But on occasion, it is good to listen to it because you can pick up tics, habits, mannerisms, perhaps inflections that are kind of not articulating. It is good to do it, as painful as it is. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Anything else you picked up?
From listening to it?
To listening to yourself, yeah.
No, but I picked up some stuff listening to you.
Ah, okay. What's that?
We'll meet on that later.
You know what I have?
Unfortunately, previously. All right. How much did you used to smoke?
A lot.
Oh, really?
Probably a little over a pack a day.
That's a fairer amount. It's 20 cigarettes?
Yes.
Inside of a pack, and it was a little over.
Right.
So it could have been two.
No, it wasn't that much.
Caused you to go, I'm going to stop destroying this temple?
It was my wife. It was my wife, and she didn't specifically ask me, but when she was pregnant with our second child, it made her sick. The smell of smoke made her nauseous, and so that's when I said, I probably don't need to do this anymore.
Blessings from the curse.
Right.
That's, you know what? Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because people, I think smoking is not a sin. It's just not real smart.
No.
It's so bad for you. And while we do not worship our bodies, nevertheless, they are indeed precious. God knits them together. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And we want to take care of this vessel, not for vanity's sake, not because we want to defy death and live forever, but because, wow, this is God's handiwork. Mm. And a reminder, by the way, you are the supreme handiwork. Without sounding maybe like a prosperity preacher on TV who just wants to puff you up with stories and jokes and tell you how amazing you are from Houston. That was just a generic impression, by the way. No, not to do that, but remember, your brain is the most sophisticated machinery in the universe, outside of God, of course. Your brain, the human brain, has gazillions of synapses. The way that it functions and fires and runs so many things. So in our house, you have to go down the stairs to the basement. I'm sorry, the lower level, the garden level. That sounds better than basement, doesn't it? So we go down into the basement to get into the garage. So typically, I suspect maybe you do this too. When you got stuff to bring up or down, but you don't want to make a trip now, you just put it at the foot of the stairs. So that you have to walk by it, grab it, pick it up, bring it up the stairs when you're going to bed, whatever. Well, ditto. So I had a bunch of stuff. I probably had papers like this in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers.
Throw it in my face.
That was only God's kindness to me. I took a puff of a cigarette. I thought somebody stabbed me in the chest. It hurt so much. It was like, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that again? So thankfully, that just curbed it for me.
I wish I would have stopped then.
Now, did it hurt you too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I was determined that I was going to be cool.
Yeah, there's something about smoking that appears to be cool.
Yep.
Thank you, James Dean.
Fonzie.
I'm going down. Fonzie didn't smoke.
Did he not? He may not have.
I don't think he did. He was just cool.
Yeah.
Man, even when he was about 48, still dressed up in the jacket, going, hey. This is the picture. There's a bunch of stuff at the top of the stairs. I'm going down in the basement to get out of the house. So I had to grab the papers. Oh, there's my cell phone. Oh, I've got my cup of coffee. So in my hand, I had somehow, had left my keys there. I should have left them downstairs in the garden level, but I brought them up. So I just dangle it on my finger. So out goes my little finger while I'm holding onto the cup and to the piece of, and I just looked at my hand and I went, this is amazing. Not only do we have opposable thumbs, a distinguishing characteristic, that's not all that separates us from the apes. It is the brain that makes it do all of this stuff without thinking about it. That's the staggering thing about your noodle. You don't even think about most of your actions, and you're certainly not thinking about breathing. You just do it. You need to pick something up. Okay, I guess I'll use those two fingers and then wrap it around and have it click to my thumb. That should do. Oh, it didn't work. I got. Maybe I'll use three fingers. Okay, three fingers. Get. Boom. It just happens. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. All that to say, take the advice of Yul Brynner. Don't smoke. Don't smoke. But send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
But do correct when Todd is wrong.
Uh-oh.
Daniel sent an email in, and he said, I very much enjoy the radio show, but...
here's the Judas kiss.
I noticed you played a song, Is He Worthy, which is a wonderful song. The song is actually played and written by Chris Tomlin, not Shane and Shane.
But it was sung by them.
It was sung by
them.
Did
I say written by them?
Maybe. I don't remember, but it was actually written by Andrew.
Clarification.
Yeah.
It's Chris Tomlin who wrote it.
No, actually, Andrew Peterson wrote the song, I believe.
That's what I, you know what?
Originally.
Hey, I think you could be right.
I think he did.
Yeah, because, and I don't think he's touring with Hillsong right now, but Chris Tomlin is. Anybody want to scratch your head with that? Yeah, it's a great song. I don't know who wrote it, but it is one of those songs. I actually heard the song again yesterday because I played it intentionally. Is the world around us broken? And you affirm it. It is. Do you feel the world is broken? That's what we observe. That's what we see. So we think that. But then, what does this song brilliantly do? I don't know if it was intentional, but it accomplishes it magnificently. It causes you to think about bigger things. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does he plan to dwell among us? He does. Is there anyone worthy? Is there anyone whole, anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. Okay, yeah, the world's broken, but wow, God's got this, and it's bigger, and it's more glorious, and I get to be a part of it. I share in the benefits. I get the wake that Jesus made because he is that good. And you get to be in on that. And that song does exactly what I think good hymnology can do. It can do a lot of stuff. Reorients your thinking. Okay, you're thinking this. Now think about that. And I think the song that was written by Andrew Peters. Wait, who sent in that email?
His name is Daniel.
Well, Daniel, correction to you. It wasn't Chris Tomlin, according to Jimmy Hicks. It was Andrew Peterson.
Blame it on me.
Ha! Remember, the talk show host is never wrong, except when he goofs up the credit about who wrote it. Because I do remember Andrew Peterson, because I think he sang it at the Sing Conference. Go ahead and say that with me. He sang it at the Sing Conference, and that was a pretty great version, too. Although I have to admit that the Shane fellow of Shane and Shane, I'm not sure which one is which. One of them is Shane. The other one is Shane. I can never tell which one is Shane. His voice, his range was pretty stout. Listen to it. Let it change your thinking and try, especially if you're having a blue day, listen to good theologically sound music. It'll bring joy to your heart. It just does. God invented it to do that. It glorifies Him, and that will make you glad. That's what music does. It's not like there's something mystical inside of music that just, okay, I feel better after that. No, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It is an intense focusing on the glory of God, praising Him, and it's just going to make you feel better because that's why you were made. And might I remind you, the way that you were made was absolutely amazing. So don't smoke. And instead, listen to the Shane and Shane song, Is He Worthy? And please try to send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or... Well, see, as I think we've just demonstrated again, corrections aren't necessary.
Because you're never wrong. We'll ask Mrs. Friel about that.
I think I need one of those psychological rubber bands. Because every time that thought crosses my head, which I have to confess to you is regularly, snap! Snap! To snap me out of it and go, no, Dodo, you don't know nothing. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org and don't smoke. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the master seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the master seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, it's October already. That means the leaves will start changing soon. It also means the annual Wretched Fall Booklet Sale is taking place. Now through October 22nd, all of our evangelistic booklets are 25% off. That's Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, The Man Who Split Time, and 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. All 25% off. Of course, solving the God puzzle is always no charge. It's a perfect time for you to get stocked up for Halloween. And no, we're not encouraging you to celebrate a dark satanic day. We're actually encouraging you to celebrate Reformation Day. The world is always going to continue with their worldly traditions like Halloween, but we can reclaim that day from Satan. And when the children come to your door looking for candy, give them truth instead. Hand out one of our evangelistic booklets, which are 25% off right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. And together, we can reform Halloween this Reformation Day.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history. Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many, but you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Get your emails here. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you get your emails here. idea@wretched.org with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, corrections, clarifications. Anything you think is wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Greg and Jill. Says, Mr. Friel, our kids are 19 and 17. Mm-hmm. And they want to attend a Catch the Fire conference, though they don't agree with the theology being taught at the conference. They want to go to share the gospel and take notes. When our question is whether it's okay to pay for the conference, would that be supporting that theology?
Yes.
Or would it just be paying for the conference?
Both. Kudos to your kids. They want to reach the kids. There would be two reasons, at least, that I would probably not, as a parent, let my kids go to something like that. Okay, three reasons now. Number one, I just don't think it's a good use of money. Second of all, I think that money does indeed support bad teaching. And I don't want to be privy to that. I don't want to participate in that. Number three, to send my kids into a territory like that, I am not sure is a great idea, because it can fill them perhaps with thoughts. It can maybe spark something in them that was never ignited before that is problematic, that potentially burns their faith down. So from a guarding my kids standpoint, I would probably say, you know what, let's go to Candyland instead and use that $75, because the caramel corn, no, that's what I probably do. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Cash. I'm not real sure if that's his real name or not, but it comes from Cash.
Well, he could be a prosperity preacher.
It could
did
be.
Did you see the Forbes list, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah, I did. There's a Forbes list, has the listing of the 10 richest pastors in the world. Hmm. And there's many things that are fascinating about it, but the fact that Forbes actually follows and tracks the category of rich pastors, that tells you how dominant the prosperity gospel is. And it preys on people. And I sure wish that some people would, if you will, awaken to that, how bad that preaching is for any community. But it is absolutely infecting particular communities, because every community shares the same desire to see my life improve. And so it preaches, it sells, and these guys become multimillionaires, particularly with people who are probably scraping to get by. That should not cause us to go, well, that should cause us to go, that's got to stop. That is something that needs to be focused on. That is something that needs to be discussed in this entire conversation that we're currently having as a nation. How bad is the Prosperity Health and Wealth Church for our world and for people particularly? And maybe spend some of our energies focusing on that might be a good idea. So the pastors that were on there, a lot of them were familiar. You probably know them. Several of them were in Nigeria, one in Singapore. But it's basically America that dominates the prosperity garbage that we pump out to the rest of the world as bilge. And it works. And clearly Forbes recognizes that. Please send your emails to idea@wretched. No, you were in the middle of an email. Did I interrupt you?
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's okay.
I can't imagine.
You say one word and you just go off.
You're saying word association is actually a good thing?
Maybe. But you know, you probably are an easy interview.
Yeah, I was told it wasn't, but okay. That's just my experience.
All right. So from Cash, he says lately he's been on a spiritual decline. He hasn't felt anything lately and desperately wants to get back on track and stay there. Do you have any advice?
Mm-hmm. Get on track. I know that sounds... Oh, come on. I'm off the track. What do I need to do to get on the track? Get on the track. What is the track? Read your Bible. Pray. Go to worship services. Witness baptisms. Participate in the Lord's Supper. Fellowship with the saints. Do it. You say, I don't want to do it. That's why you need to do it. That's the thing that you need to do to want to do the thing. So if you don't do the thing, you're not going to want to do the thing. So start doing the thing. That it really is that simple. When you bury yourself into thinking like God by being in sermon, by being in the Word, by thinking through the gospel, through communion and baptism, you're going to be on that is the track. So get it. There's no secrets to this. There's no games. I guess you can use some cues or put an alarm clock on your watch that goes off every 2 hours so you can read a Bible verse. Okay, that's fine. But do it. No, do what you need to do to help you do it. But if you're struggling to do it, that's the very reason you need to do it. And if you do it persistently and consistently, you will notice that, hey, wait a second, I'm not off track. Hey, I'm actually doing better in the sin department. Hey, did I just see a new fruit blossom? If you're off track, the response to it is to simply get on the track and do it. I'm not a fan of psychological babble. I think this is secular, but fake it till you make it. Not a great phrase, but there is a little bit of truth in it biblically. That when you pursue God, he's not going to run from you. He desires that he's found, if you will. He wants communion with you. He wants fellowship with you. So just do it. Do it. And increasingly, you will discover you want to do it. There are seasons we can go through that demand this of us. The Christian life, salvation is not a strain, but the Christian life is. And there are times when we got to stretch and we got to work and maybe sweat at this and maybe push through some things. Because the remedy for being off track is to get on track and send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, Michael wants to know, Todd, how do we reconcile Paul saying love is not jealous in 1 Corinthians 13 with Exodus 20?
That he's jealous.
It tells us God is a jealous God.
Yeah, exactly, because there's two types of jealous, just like there's two types of every emotion. Anger can be righteous or sinful. Sorrow can be sinful or correct, entirely appropriate. And the same thing is true with jealousy. The forbidden jealousy is, hey, I want that attention. I'm the one who should get that attention. That's sinful jealousy. Godly jealousy is a rightful response to somebody who is walking away from you to their own detriment. I'm jealous for them. I desire that. I want those people in this relationship. That is not sinful. That is the way that God was treating the Jewish people. He was jealous for their affections because it is right. When it is selfish and self-centered, then it's a sinful jealousy. Email sent, please, to idea@wretched.org.
Jonathan is wondering how he can glorify God through art. Says he loves to draw, but he really has a hard time with it because he doesn't know what it means to glorify God through it.
Okay, let's just change the subject because it is my experience. A lot of folks wrestle with this, the arts per se. And I think there's a reason for it. There's a lot of really bad art, a lot of foul art. And you maybe think that, well, art, therefore, is not a godly endeavor. Oh, it most certainly can be. God is the most magnificent artist in the universe. Did you see the sunset he painted for us the other day? Whoa, he's amazing. Art does not have to be sinful. Therefore, you can do it and you can enjoy it. The question is, how do you do it for the glory of God? All right, I'm going to exchange doing art with something else. How do you eat a bologna sandwich to the glory of God? How do you run 2 miles a day to keep your heart healthy, to the glory of God? Aren't we supposed to eat, drink, and do everything unto the glory of God? How do we do that? What does it look like? I don't think it looks like perpetual mindfulness. I'm eating this bologna sandwich, but I'm actually thinking about the Lord. No, we thank God for the food. We bow our heads and we say, thank you for providing this. May this nourish my body so that I can serve you, that you might be glorified. Then you're eating and drinking to the glory of God. Not to turn this into a really trite formula, but start your day with the Lord. Begin your task. Start out before you hit the ground saying, Lord, this day is for you. Every step I take, I want it to be for you. I want you to be pleased in it. I am not doing this for self. I am doing this for you. And even if you run to a job that you don't think is sacred, it is sacred work when you're doing it unto the Lord. So do your art. Enjoy it. Make sure it's godly. And make sure you're dedicating it to Him, that you're thanking Him along the way. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to draw like this, because Friel can't even draw a stick, man. So thank you, Lord, for this. May this be pleasing to you. I'm going to do this for you. And then you can do it. And if you don't think about the Lord every single second, don't panic over that. With the Lord, begin thy task. And when day is ended, and you will be living for the glory of God. Nothing is more enjoyable than that. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, let's set the tone with likely the dumbest story that you're going to hear today. At least the dumbest story on this station at this time. Three former contestants of the Miss France beauty pageant have combined efforts to sue the pageant. Why? Well, because they claim the beauty pageant discriminates on the basis of physical appearance. Isn't that what a beauty pageant is? It's kind of like an NBA player suing the NBA because they required him to dribble the basketball. It's kind of the whole point of the exercise. But it also should come as no surprise to any of us that none of the three contestants suing the pageant came anywhere close to actually placing in the pageant. It's oddly funny how that happens. Well, according to reports, earlier this week, a Christian woman and her young son were able to escape the bedroom where the woman's Muslim husband had been holding and starving them over the previous 2 weeks. The escape happened just a day before another Christian was beaten by his family in eastern Uganda. The man's older brother was among those who attacked him, and fearing retaliation from his family, he has not reported the incident to police. Just as in the case of the Christian mother and her young son being held captive and starved, the mother refuses to report that incident to police. Please make sure that you are continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Well, here's a conundrum to try to wrap your head around, although I admit it's going to be hard to do. According to a new survey conducted by Probe Ministries, nearly 70% of born-again believers believe a person can get to heaven through Jesus or another religion. And that baffles me, because if you believe that you're born again, if you believe Jesus is the way, then how do you also believe another religion has the ability to make it to heaven? I wonder if those near 70% of self-identified born-again believers are actually born again at all. Jesus doesn't say that he's a way. He says he's the way, and no one will get to the Father unless through him. That sounds pretty exclusive to me. Folks, this is not a subjective thing. It's a matter of life and death. And in an update on the developing story of the Loudoun County School Board in Virginia, a recently uncovered email from May shows the superintendent of schools, Scott Ziegler, not only knew about the alleged rape incidents, but also informed the school board about them. A 15-year-old girl was allegedly assaulted in the girls' bathroom in May by a boy pretending to be a girl. The incident wasn't publicized until this month, only after the boy who committed the assault groped another girl at another school, the one he was transferred to after the first assault. The Loudoun County School Board has gone to extraordinary measures to cover up the assault, all in order to pass bathroom rules that allow those playing dress-up to be able to use whichever bathroom they choose to use. Parents in Loudoun County, Virginia, I would say it's safer for you to homeschool your children than allow them to attend any school being run by this school board. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word,
the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whatever you got that's wretched, we would desire it in a non-sinful, coveting kind of way. Send to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, corrections, clarifications, sermons, stories, news clips, whatever. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes.
I think I'm out of shape, Jimmy.
You're out of shape?
Because I think I did a list of about 9 words, and I needed air when I was done.
Oh, that kind of shape.
You know what Mrs. Friel is doing at the gym? And I'm starting to feel a little bit pressured by it. She's doing that stair-stepper business.
Don't fall into that trap.
Oh.
That thing is brutal.
It is. I know it is. We were in Dallas, I think. We were on our way to the Teach Them Diligently conference. And, you know, as you suspect, we go to the gym. And we were in the gym of the, it was that bit with all the water. Yeah, it was in Austin, something. It was in Texas. It's a small place. Drive around. You'll eventually find it. It's the water, the Kalahari, I think, is where the conference was. So we went into the gym because we spared everybody going to the water park. You don't want to see that. Children would be horrified. Some people with sensitive eyes would be blinded. We blessed people by not doing the water park thing. Besides, I have to confess to you, unless you're with your grandkids, at a certain age, probably don't need to be going down the tornado into the... Some point, might want to just think about that. So we went to the gym, and a woman was on the stair stepper thing, and I heard a scream. I turned to look. She had fallen off of it.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're squeamish, you might want to just hit mute for about 8 seconds. And one of her bones, I don't know, tibia maybe coming up. I could see it. It came through the...
That's enough for me never to get on one again.
So I'm not doing the stair stepper. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. From Anonymous, and this is only Anonymous because I can't pronounce his name. Kudus. He wants to know what are practical ways to be a doer of the word and not just a listener of it.
Kudus, maybe?
Kudus?
K-A-U-D-U-S?
K-U-D-U-S.
Oh, Kudus, maybe? I wonder if that's some sort of foreign name.
I hope so.
I'm guessing it because I haven't heard that one. Nevertheless, what are some practical ways that you can...
be a doer of the word, not just a hearer.
Do what you're supposed to. Yeah, it... maybe because I am just simple. This is a simplistic answer. How do you be a doer of the word? Do it. Do it. What does it say you're supposed to do? Get on it. Read through your New Testament. Look for the imperatives, usually tied to an indicative to give us the correct example and motivation, but just be obedient and do it. So how can you be a doer of the word? By reading it, studying it, writing down if you need to remember it that way, and then obeying it. Now, that's the most simplistic answer I can give. We can build on that, however. There are things that you can do very practically in the context of your local church. Go do a study of the one another's. You're going to find almost 40, if not more. This is what we do with one another. Okay. Hey, I can do that. And then just start doing it. There would be a third way to be a doer of the word. And this harkens back to the book that I shared with you from Martha Peace. She just did such, it was so simple and so helpful. She asked probing questions. There were 24 of them. When somebody cuts in front of you, are you inclined to get angry or... to potentially pray for the person? Okay, and that wasn't one of her questions, but you get the idea. Is it like a godly thing or is it like a fleshly thing? So here's what you do. Consider this Bible verse. And this is what the verse says about getting cut off in traffic and how I'm supposed to respond to people who are thoughtless, who aren't paying attention, therefore they're being reckless and endangering my life. I bless those who curse me. And I trust God that that is the right emotional response. I trust him because my flesh says, you idiot! God says, bless them. Pray for them. if possible, speak an encouraging word to them that edifies and lifts up. Okay, that is not what I feel like, but I'm going to do your word. I'm going to think the way that you want me to think. That is how we can be a constant doer of the word. That we are thinking Bible way more to replace all of the crummy, rotten, deficient thoughts that we have all day. Your brain and mine, loaded with garbage. And we drink it in incessantly. And it's detached usually from God. And therefore, as we experience life, we tend to reply with those data banks filled with bad information. Got to kick it out. Start putting more good information in there. Start trusting that that is the way that you're supposed to respond, live, or do, and trust God for the results. That can be a doer of the word. And I would add this. There's no excuse. You do not get to be a sideline Christian. I don't care if you just pulled all four of your quad muscles because my next door neighbor just did. He was walking the dog. See the dog thing? You got to be careful. And he fell and now he's in a brace because all four of the quads, it's like, oh yeah, quad, that makes sense. There's four literally separated from the ligaments.
Oh my goodness.
He said it almost sounded like a rifle. Bing, bing, boom, bing. Okay. So there he is now in a brace. Is he sidelined from being a doer of the word? No. None of us have an excuse. You might be going through a tough season. I get that. And you might need a little recovery time. But you should hasten to get back to being a doer of the word because the opportunities are everywhere. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Here's an interesting question. She says she understands that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. But what about our interests? Some Christians have an interest in psychology, some in politics. So is God sovereign over our interests?
Yeah, of course he is. He knit you together. So how do you determine whether or not you should have that interest? Well, are you doing it to glorify God? Is it sinful in nature? Don't do it. If it isn't, then you can go ahead and do it. Just do it unto the Lord. And you can exercise those desires in a godly way. Where do those desires come from? The Lord. Where do the sinful desires come from? You. God is not the author of evil. We do that just fine, all by ourselves. But he has knit us together, he is ordaining everything, and he's knit you together in a way where you have preferences, and you can do those things. As far as delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the things that you delight in doing or experiencing. He will give you what you're wanting. The two are connected. It's not like do this, you're going to get that stuff. No, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart are rightly informed because you're delighting in the Lord. So if you are delighting in the Lord, you have a desire to do something, you have permission to do it. It may not be wise. You want to receive godly counsel, perhaps before you pull the trigger and become the lead singer of a garage band. But that's not a sin. And if that's the desire, you can say, Lord, that's my desire. And he might just say no. And he might just say yes. It is being informed by the word of God that tells us, is this emotion, this feeling, this desire correct? And if it is aligned with the Bible, then it is a correct desire, and you can potentially exercise that desire because you're doing it for the glory of God. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, Zach is currently looking at locations to plant a church. He plans to read, interview, and pray about it thoroughly before determining where it should be exactly. But he was wondering what advice you would give a young man like himself.
Research. Lots of research. And I would start, by the way, I probably wouldn't be asking the Lord, where do you want me to go? I mean, that's okay if you want to do that. See a need. Lord, should I be going there? But don't go alone. Please have a sending body. Please have a church that commissions you, supports you, prays for you, keeps you on track, encourages you. Don't start a church without that support. You're going to need it on so many levels. And then if you found that church, one of the ways to find that church is to consider what is their sending model, because there are many. Willow Creek has a sending model. Walk in the Word has a sending model. I know Mike Fabaros, I was talking to him about their sending model from Compass Bible Church. It's fascinating, and it's different than the other ones. In other words, there's some options, and you should get as much wisdom as you possibly can to determine in this context what would be the best way to do it. Then find a church that shares those values and ask them to partner with you for 3-5 years. They guide you. You become self-sustaining. They cut the cord. Away you go. And then you go plant another church another day. Make sure you've got a sending church. Do your research. Pray like nobody's business. And don't do it alone. This is Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the Wretched Gospel Partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill his promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. You can rest assured that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go. Eventually.
1-7-7-2-8-2-BEEP.
This is Wretched Radio. That is the number of the toll-free where you can leave a question, comment, conundrum, or snark. please call 1-877-282-BEEP before I hit the button to hear what you have to say. Just want to let you know about potentially another resource for you if you're thinking about planting a church. Seriously, any church that's a planting church, which quite honestly, at some point we should all have our eyes on reproduction, sending, having some authority over it, guiding it, making sure that it's stable, funding it to launch another church. Anybody who does that, they'll be happy to tell you what their model is, because there are many different models. I was talking with Mike Fabares. He's the pop of John Fabares, the host of Road Trip to Truth, Season 2, available now at wretched.org, about how they send. Now, I don't know that I've got this totally right, but they identify a pastor and they identify a region, and the person is inside of their church. So they're going to send their pastor to go to a place that they've scouted and determined that's the best place for us to exert our energies. And then they announce it 3 years, I believe. Sorry if I'm getting this wrong, Mike, but 3 years in advance to let the congregation know so that they can start planning to move and join the church plant. And when he said this, I said, wait, whoa. What are you telling me here? You people from your church, Orange County, they pack up and go to Boise, Idaho. Yep, that's what I'm telling you. And how many people do that? 250. What? Yeah, that's our model. We want to open it up. We want to open it up big. It has momentum and it grows. Different paces depending on the pastor and what their focuses are. But that's how they start a church. And they're doing it. I think they've got three, maybe more, around the country. I think they're looking at Texas now. And I was staggered by that church model. That's just, whoa. So I had to ask a question. Why in the world would people do that? Why would they go? They're going to that church because they love the preaching of the word. They probably love Pastor Mike. Why would they just leave it? It's because of what Pastor Mike is preaching and the understanding of the importance of the local church. And you could be a part of building something that has a legacy in a zip code that maybe is foreign to you. But that is the work that you can be participating in. And so these become active people. They literally sell their house. They move to wherever, and they start with that church. So that Sunday morning, there are going to be at least 251 people there. That's amazing. Now, drive a little further north, and you're going to get to the Master's Seminary. And they have a program. It's got shepherd a go-go, something. It has the word shepherd. I don't know that it has a go-go, but it's about sending somebody who is from the Master's Seminary to pastor a church. So if you're looking at starting a church, that is another option for you. Jimmy, would you go to the Master's Seminary and just look for the church a go-go or planting a church, or you want to call a pastor from the Master's Seminary? I'm telling you, it isn't like fill out a form and you're good to go. No. They've been around this block before, and they have so many criteria that will guide you through the preparation of launching a church that has just been planted. They will assist you. They will provide the man that they believe is appropriate for you. You have to have a certain amount of money in the bank. You can't call a man and not pay him. He's worthy of his hire. You can't expect him to just live on dirt. So you got to have some money set. They make sure you've got the certain amount of money, that you got a place for the guy to live, that you understand he's going to be the leader of the church. You maybe are the impetus behind the starting of the church, but it's going to be the pastor who shapes and forms this thing because he's the leader of the church. And you're going to have to submit to that. All of that is done at Shepherd a Go-Go at the Master's. So you find anything, Jimmy?
No, not yet.
All right, you keep looking.
Okay.
Because as long as we're at the Master's Seminary, I'll tell you about the Master's Academy International. This is where they take graduates from overseas. These are men who travel to L.A. They get seminary equipped. They learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. They get sent back home. And guess what they do there besides either planting a church or growing a church, strengthening a church? they start up little mini seminaries to train other indigenous men in their language, knowing their customs and history, not having any sort of impediment that would keep people from embracing what you're preaching, and they then multiply. It's absolutely brilliant. We love the Masters Academy International. It is, talk about a legacy ministry. This is how you can, this is how we build things that last beyond our dash. We're all going to die, and God's kingdom is going to keep marching, and we can do things that propel that march and equip people to take the ball and keep running with it until Jesus returns. The Masters Academy International. You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor. Jimmy, you still have a look on your face that indicates you have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go with Shepherd or Go-Go.
No.
I can't find it.
Look, go to the bottom of the thing.
Okay.
That's and read through the stuff there. I'm sure they've got it there where they will help you. By the way, as long as you are thinking this is an absolutely futile exercise and use of radio airwave time, go to the Master Seminary if you're looking for a church, because they list pastors around the country that are pastoring a church potentially near you. It is a really good resource if you're shopping for a church or if you're moving to another city. Please make sure you find a good church before you find a good home. Crucial. And please call 1-877-282-BEEP.
1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Hey, Todd, I found it.
You mean you've spared me from the terrors of beep talk? What's it? Please tell me what this thing is called.
Grace Advance.
That's it. That's the one right there, lady. Grace Advance. You can find them, of course. Well, I know the website address, but I'll just let Jimmy tell you.
GraceAdvance.org.
Well, that makes sense. Talk about Providence right there. It's called Grace Advance, and they've got a website, GraceAdvance.org. They will help you. Sounds to me like this is less seminary. No wonder why you couldn't find it, Jimmy. I sent you to the wrong address. It sounds like it's a ministry of Grace Community Church. Grace Advance. Outstanding in helping people plant really good churches.
Church sign.
Oh, boy.
Fall for Jesus.
No.
He never leaves.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I need to hear that gagging sound effect again.
Church sign. Fall for Jesus. He never leaves.
There it is. Can we stop being trite and cutesy with our Savior? Can we stop? Think about Nadab and Abihu. They were killed because they blasphemed the Lord. How's about offering strange fire? What exactly is strange fire? It's not doing worship the way that God wants to be worshiped. Just heard R.C. Sproul preaching a sermon on this. I'm telling you, that man, he was a powerful preacher. The way that he could put a narrative together and make God glorious in doing so. They were killed. They were consumed by fire because they offered strange fire because God said, do it like this. And we don't. And R.C. Sproul asked the question, how do you suppose God feels about the worship that we offer? If he wants to be approached, no, if you recall, Aaron's charge was, you worship me, you're going to approach me as a holy God. Do we really think that this is acceptable?
Church sign, fall for Jesus. He never leaves.
We're talking about God here. He's not a punchline. He's not trite. He's not a pun. He's not silly. He's holy.
Church sign. Even mosquitoes know there's power in the blood. I think they might have missed the key point.
Okay. Honestly, and remember, it's the death, burial, and resurrection, not the physical substance itself that has the power. It is what Jesus did. And we use the term shedding of blood to describe the totality of his passion. So this, again, Jesus died so that we could live. We turn it into a mosquito bit?
Church signs. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark.
Good on them. That and God guided them two by two. But other than that, little detail, I hope Ken Ham isn't listening to this. If you've never been to the Ark Encounter, wow, this has been Plug-O-Rama. Make sure you get yourself there. It is absolutely magnificent. I promise you, nobody can exaggerate it too much. You will approach it and go, the Ark Encounter. Another reminder, we shouldn't talk about God in trite ways. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.